Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. The last sermon of 2020. Not sure how to feel about that, are we? Hey, I just want to say well done to all the volunteers and the people that made the Christmas services happen. And weren't they great? I reckon that's one of the best Christmas services I've been to. Just love it. Let's put our hands together for all the wonderful volunteers at Parky. You guys did so well, and it's great, so good when you see, you know, people bring family and friends and people that maybe haven't been to church for a while, maybe don't even know the Lord. And I think it was just such a wonderful opportunity, and the gospel was preached, and it was good. So that's been great. So today, yeah, the last one, we're going to be reflecting on 2020. Going to do a little bit different today. I'm going to be talking to a few people about their year. Let me just pray. Father, I just pray right now as we do just take some time to stop and reflect on this year. And then look at a new year that you would just, that it wouldn't be about all that we say, Lord, but you would encourage hearts and say something through us and through your word this morning too. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. I love the scripture in Isaiah 40 verse 31 that says this, and this is pretty much it's really only a one-point sermon this morning. It says, but those who hope in a vaccine, those who hope in a cure, it says those who hope in a new year, those who hope in their money, those who hope in their resources. No, what does it say? Those who hope in the Lord, those who hope is in the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The verse just before this verse talks about how we stumble and fall. Even youths, even young men, even people in their prime will stumble and fall. And then it says this, but those who hope in the Lord. So I want to say to you this morning, no matter what 2020 has looked like or felt like or what you've been through, the stumblings, the fallings, it's okay. God is the kind of God that you can put your hope in and get a renewed strength for a new year. And that's good news. Amen. Some very scholarly quotes about this year. I've just got about four of them for you to meditate on is this. One person said, so far, 2020 is like looking both ways before you cross the street and getting hit by an aeroplane. So put a bit, can relate to that. I like this quote, this person about social distancing. They said, okay, it's day 7 of social distancing. Struck up a conversation with a spider today. Seems nice. He's a web designer. Did anyone go through them isolation feels? Or this third one says this, if you had asked me what the hardest part of battling a global pandemic would be, I would never have guessed it was going to be teaching elementary school math. And all the people that try to do homeschooling said, take our kids back. And this last one. Coronavirus has turned us all into dogs. We roam the house looking for food. We're told no if we get too close to strangers, and we get really excited about car rides and walks. And I make a bit of light of this, but we don't make light of the actual real threat and risk and the health thing we went through. This is just more about the quarantining and that sort of thing, a bit of light of it. But it's a very serious thing, and it is good to look back and have a bit of a reflection and a bit of a laugh, but also to look at some of the serious things about this year. And that's what I want to do this morning. So I've invited three people. I'm just going to pick randomly. No, I'm not. Three people that I've organized to come up and sit with me on the couch with Carlton, Savannah, and Joe. And they're going to sit with me. I've got a few questions to talk to them. So you're not just going to hear about me and my 2020. We're going to hear about some other people's year and what God has done in and through this. But as you're listening, I want to challenge you to think about it if you were up here on the stage. And maybe some of the things that you would say about your 2020. And that's okay, I'll stay here. How good was Carlton in the Christmas service? It was great seeing him singing. And yeah, it was great. Really blessed by you getting involved. And nothing to do with me and Deanne getting you involved with that at all. What was I saying? Yeah, and to think about that, because one thing, I had a pastor years ago, he said to me, every year he stops at the end of the year and he writes down just one significant thing he's learnt from that year. And that's probably the takeaway today, is that you could go away thinking, what is the one thing God has taught you or you have learnt that you will never forget for the rest of your life from this year? So anyway, welcome. Thank you guys for being so willing. I've sort of asked you two sort of key questions. Have you got a mic over there? You have. Great. And the questions that I've asked these guys is to think about is, and the first one we're going to go around and answer, I want to hear what was some of your greatest struggles with 2020, challenges of 2020. So who wants to go first?
Ladies ladies first.
Very gentlemanly of you. Ladies first. Savannah. This is Savannah, and she's one of our awesome youth leaders too. Gives up her Friday nights. Thanks, Savannah. And Savannah, yeah, tell us about some of your challenges this year, 2020.
What hasn't been a challenge in 2020? I think there's... So I was thinking back and really didn't want to come up here and speak when I thought about it. And so I asked God to tell me what to say, and now you're going to have to hold me back to like maybe less than 10 minutes. We'll go for that. So I've picked two things that had been the biggest challenge in 2020, and one of them is just maintaining like a close relationship with God, like the most simple thing of being a Christian. And the other is, like, why does God answer some prayers and not other prayers? So those have been the two things I've been thinking about most.
So the first one you said there about, say the first one again, was...
Just maintaining a close relationship.
Yeah. So tell what were the things around that made that difficult?
Well, any good relationship relies on a commitment of time and communication. And I was doing so well with that in the morning. I had like my morning and my evening Bible time, and it was really cool. And then quarantine happened, which I personally thought was awesome. I spent 8 weeks running around outside and playing with my kitten. I just kind of let the busyness of life just get in the way of God, and I found myself being like, I just don't have time. I've got three jobs and youth group and everything else I cram into my week. I just don't have time to read my Bible and things like that. So then I looked at my phone, and this wonderful thing that's come out called Screen Time. And it shows you how much time you spend on your phone and on what. So I got rid of social media and Disney Plus and games on my phone and found out I have a lot of free time.
There's a big sermon right there for us, Savannah. Thank you. We've come to the altar this morning. No, that's great. Thank you for sharing. So that's some of the challenge. Joe, what about yourself? What were some of the key challenges 2020 brought your way?
Okay, so there's been highs and lows, but I think there's one particular event. Okay, that will stay with us for a long time. Oh, no.
That's okay.
Okay, so March 6 is a date that's embedded in my mind. I'd had an awesome day. I run a foundation, for some of you who don't know, and we'd ticked a lot of goals that day. It was really productive. I'd been working in the city all day. Gareth was coming in at... Oh, I can't look at Gareth. Look away, please. Gareth was coming in at 5 to pick me up, and we were meeting some really close friends for dinner, so good plan. About 4:45, I started just feeling very unsettled in hindsight. I remember it clearly, but I couldn't figure it out. I started texting Gareth, are you on your way? And he's like, well, I'm not late. I'm like, just hurry. About half an hour later, Gareth had picked me up by this time, and Maylee called and said, do you know where Sean is, our son? So Maylee's our daughter, Sean's our son. Do you know where Sean is? I think I've seen his car in an accident. So I did the mummy thing and stayed calm and said, no, it'll be fine, relax, you know. But inside I just had this really, really bad feeling in my stomach. And it was probably, well, there was a whole pile of, I guess every mother's worst nightmare unfolded from that point. So the next few hours were very traumatic, to say the least. Sean had been in a serious car accident. And the next few days, things unfolded that every day we had worse news, to the point that he had multiple fractures in his lower neck and upper spine, and a prolapsed disc in his lower neck. But so we had the days of hospital and everything that we went through. But I can honestly say, I actually caught up with one of my besties yesterday. We walked the bridges every Saturday morning. And I said to her, oh, I've got to talk about Sean's accident tomorrow. Uh-oh. One thing to experience it yourself, but to talk about it with people that you know and love. And she said she just recalls how calm I was. She couldn't believe how calm I was. She was more freaked out than me. But I did have an absolute peace that passes all understanding, and it's inexplicable, because although I had the natural human reactions, it became a bit of a pattern that at 5 o'clock every day the trembling would start and go for about an hour, and I'd be trying to feed Sean his dinner because he was completely immobilised, you know, trying to look calm and with it, and I was really not very calm and with it. But deep down I just knew, and God gave me the verse that the Lord watches over you, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. I tossed around whether or not to actually show an image of the car, but I asked Sean's permission, one, to tell this, but also to show the car, and it's not to dramatise it, it was dramatic enough. Do you mind just popping it up, Ethan? It's to show you God's hand.
Yeah.
I had actually had a clear picture in my mind before I saw the accident of God's hand over Sean's head, and it was more than a week before I was prepared to see the car. And can you see his hand? The lump where the driver would have been sitting, you know, that was God's hand.
Mm. Wow, yeah, powerful. So we'll come back to you in a minute, Joey. So, yeah, reasonably big challenge and big, yeah, for sure, one day you'll never forget. Carlton, what about yourself, mate? Tell us about your 2020.
For me, my 2020 was quite, everything was going along quite nicely. And then my cousin passed away last year, so I flew back this year, because he died 18th of December. So we didn't have the funeral until February. So I flew back to bury him, and then I came back. And then I decided I really wanted to find a church that I could really connect with, and I'd already been here. So I decided to come here and just to seek God's truth and his direction as to what he wants me to do, because I was a child protection worker for 20 years. And in that space, I was so used to being proactive in solving problems and helping people through whatever difficulties they were going through. And then COVID came along, and then we had all these restrictions, and so we weren't able to do much. And I think I struggled with not being able to do anything about that. I'm used to fixing and solving things. I'm a problem solver by, that's just me, who I am. And I think that was highly influenced by my position. So not being able to do anything, and just having to be restricted from having the freedom and capacity to go around and do whatever you want to do, was a real struggle. And it was also compounded by the worries that I had for my family back in England, because in the UK, the COVID situation wasn't managed very well over there. And so I was really worried about my family, my friends, my relatives, and that they were being safe. And, that, you know, there was nothing I could do about that either. So... yeah.
So we'll stay with you, Carlton. Then, so how was the Lord, your relationship with God during this time? And you're saying, because this year has been, I know, pretty big year with your relationship with the Lord. And
yeah,
so what was
yeah.
the sort of couple of defining moment there where things started to turn around?
Yeah, well, I think what the overriding thing that happened with me was learning to not give my worries to God.
Yep.
And let him deal with that. So I can then just focus on my relationship with him. Because I had a tendency to worry about other things, about other people. Because I knew that where I was safe and I was well. But, you know, there's other people who are not so fortunate as us. So I got friends interstate as well as overseas. And they were living in countries where, you know, the COVID was really rampant and rife, and a lot of lives had been taken as a consequence of that. So I had a tendency to really worry about that. And over worry. So I was praying a lot to God about that and trying to gain some kind of understanding as to what was going on. But you don't always understand what God's doing, and you need not worry about that. You just need to have faith in what he's doing. Even if you can't see what he's doing behind the scenes, you can't make sense of it. Because I like to analyze and make sense of everything. But with God, it's different. You can't always make sense of what he's doing, and you don't always know what he's doing. And I've just learned to not worry about that and just have faith in what he's doing and knowing that he's going to take care of things in the end. So I've been spending a lot of time praying and giving my worries to him, and he's took care of those worries so that I can just focus on my relationship with him. So that has been the biggest thing for me out of all of this.
Great. That's great. Just that verse, isn't it, about casting your cares upon the Lord? And it sounds like prayer is a big part of that, faith and trust. You hand it over.
Yeah.
Because we all say, you know, don't worry. We're trying to just pray about it. But actually, it sounds like you've spent some time working that out. Yeah,
it took a bit of time, but I found that I'm thriving from that.
Awesome.
The more I pray and seek his guidance and truth and direction, the more I'm feeling fulfilled.
Great.
And I know that God has a plan for us all, and he has a plan for me, and I haven't got a clue what that is. And I don't really care, because I know I'm going to be sorted, so, you know, it's all good.
That's awesome. Oh, that's fantastic, Carlton. Savannah, tell us about, you've outlined some of the challenges. What about, what has God taught you? How has God worked in and through you in your challenges?
Yeah, so one of my challenges was why God answers some prayers and not others. And for instance, so my dad has this thing where if anyone's lost anything, walking around the house going, "Ah, I can't find such and such," he goes, "Have you prayed yet? Yes or no?" And then he'll start counting. So I'd lost my stethoscope and it had been lost for 3 days and I was like, "I can't find it." He said, "Have you prayed?" And I was like, "No." So he closed his eyes and I was like, "Fine." Walked back to my room and had this overwhelming urge to check a drawer that I checked twice already. And I opened it up and, of course, it's sitting right there where I couldn't possibly miss it. And God's done that so much with things I've lost. I tend to lose things a lot. But then the reason I needed my stethoscope is been struggling to breathe properly for like 6 weeks now. And God won't fix that, but he helped me find my stethoscope. So I kind of struggled with that a bit. And one thing God's been teaching me is to just rely on him day by day and hour by hour and sometimes breath by breath. And he's really taught me that, like, when my life is easy, it's easy for me to just do it in my own strength. There's nothing that I need God for. But when I have to rely on him for every breath, then what he's showing me is that it's better for me to learn how to trust him than to just make all my problems go away.
Wow. Yeah, that's great, Savannah. Joe, how's God worked in and through that traumatic experience?
It was important for me to focus on all the positives. Like, I started writing a list in the hospital of all the good things that, you know, the God moments. Sean's mate was 5 minutes away, so he was able to be on the scene and make that call to the mummy that everyone doesn't want to make and, you know, sort out the tow truck driver. Maylee was actually with her best friend who happened to be driving Maylee's car, which is very unusual. I mean, Maylee would have had a car accident if she hadn't, you know, had Bethia there to take control of what was going on. The people that we'd met with in the city then are actually Sharon and Steve. We've known the kids. We've known each other since before kids, and Sharon and I pray with the kids. So Sharon was the prayer warrior. Well, they dropped us at the hospital and she just carried the prayer right the way through, not just for us, for every single person in the emergency room last night. She had an awesome that night. She had an awesome time just praying for everybody. You know, the theatre nurse that I happened to know that happened to be on that day that was able to message me when Sean came out of theatre, and it was pre-lockdown. I cannot imagine going through that nightmare and not being able to be with Sean. That would have just been... But it was only just pre-lockdown. And I'm so mindful that just because we're Christians, we're not immune to things.
Yeah.
Stuff happens. I'm also mindful that we had a positive outcome. Yeah. You know, Sean did require surgery. He's got a plate in his neck.
Yeah.
He had 12 weeks with a full brace on 24/7. But he survived. He's now fully recovered. You know, he'd only been home 3 days when, you know, Brad, that he got the call that, or the information that one of his best mates had been killed in a car accident. So mindful that, yeah, you're not immune to things. I don't know if that family are Christians. My heart breaks for that mother. But I can honestly say that God has given me that peace. In a seemingly out of control, you know, human feeling, he still gave me that peace. And that I am complete in him. It's when I'm weak that he is strong. Because I had nothing. You know, you just have... I'm sure we've all been in situations where you're just blank. Your mind is just blank. You can't pray. You've got no words. You've got nothing. But God honestly held me through it, yeah.
Fantastic, fantastic. Do you guys want any final closing thoughts about something you've learnt this year or take homes? Or have I exhausted you?
Jesus is pretty cool.
Say that again.
Jesus is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, can you put your hands together for my wonderful volunteers? Thank you. And, yeah, so I want to encourage you for your journey this year. What are some key things that God has taught you, done, and maybe even over morning tea this morning you could share, maybe ask someone, hey, what was your key thing God taught you? I remember... at the start of 2015, I got my new journal out, as I do at the start of the year, and I wrote, and I just had this verse from the Lord that that this is the year. And I wrote it down, and it was the verse that says, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I was sort of singing that, and 3 weeks later, our son was diagnosed with cancer, you know, and we went through that whole journey that year. But I was holding on to that verse, and the good thing is that the goodness of God is not conditioned by what we go through in our circumstances or our life, or it's not about that. The goodness of God is in it, and that's what we've heard this morning, that His goodness, it's in everything, and so we don't need everything to be going right, the wind to be kicking with the breeze every day and that sort of thing, but the goodness of the Lord, we see it in the land of the living if we have open eyes. I can't believe none of you has mentioned anything about toilet paper this year. How could we not focus on this year and not reflect on toilet paper just for a moment? Let's do that. So a lot has changed. Things change. And I think for me, one of the things is this year is shows us that things can change very quickly for a whole lot of people at once. We know it can happen to one person. It can change with that phone call, with that diagnosis, with that one thing. But it can, now seems globally things can change for everybody very quickly. And it would be just obviously there was disruptions with church. So I read a great article about what the things that COVID tried to steal, or not just COVID, 2020 and everything that comes with it. And some of the things were community. Community is attack on community. And I think we've had to work hard to try and maintain community when it's been sort of pulled apart and that sort of thing. I want to leave us just with two thoughts, two things that nothing can take away. This year cannot take away. And number one, the first thing that cannot be taken away is God's promises. That's one thing that hasn't changed in an ever-changing environment. The thing that hasn't changed for us is the promises of God. And in that same chapter, I think it is, that I read before, Isaiah, it talks about the flower fades, the grass withers, but the word of the Lord stands forever, endures forever. No matter what we go through, God's promises for our life are safe and they are stable. I want to encourage that for us as a church, that the promises going forward that God's got for us into a new year, into this next season that we go into, no matter what happens, whether things, as we said this morning with someone this morning, whether things get worse or things get better, we know that God's promises stay the same and it's so reliable. And I want to encourage you every morning to get up and remember God's promises, because His promises are the unchangeable. So I like to think of it that God loves me. That just does not change. No matter what I've done, no matter where I've been, no matter what's going on, God loves you. Hold on to that promise. You are loved by God. He's got a photo of you in His wallet, as they say. You're on His fridge. He loves you. He adores you. And you've got to remind yourself of God's promises that you are forgiven right now. You're not going to get any more right with God right now. If you're a born-again Christian this morning, if you follow Jesus, if you love Jesus, and you may have struggles and may have been through some hardships, you are totally forgiven of all your sins and all the ones you're going to do if you've already trusted in Jesus on the cross. Isn't that good news? It's great news, and it's not a license to say, oh, well, I can do whatever I want. Then you probably haven't really received that grace, because when you get that grace and I am forgiven, that's a promise that is so sure that if it impacts you, it changes the desires of your heart. You're not looking to go out and break all the Ten Commandments in one day. You are forgiven. That all things are going to work together for your good, because you love the Lord and you're called according to His purpose. This is the foundation going forward, and even in dark times, that God's promises are what we rely on. And so I just think of Peter when he went and walked on water, and we don't know what we're walking into with finishing saying goodbye to this year and just continuing into the next year. But Peter, as he walked on that water and he just kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on something that other people would normally sink in. And let that be said of us next year, this going forward, going out of this year, that, you know, people will be sinking in some of the circumstances around them. But as I keep my eyes on Jesus, and I've heard His one word which says, come. And as I step into what He calls me to do, His word will sustain every step I take, even when others around me are sinking. I'm holding on to His promises. What are your promises from God that you're holding on to? I pray that you've got them, hiding them in your heart, as the psalmist said, that we might not sin against you. So that's never going to change. And lastly, we'll close on this thought this morning, is that God's purpose hasn't changed. And God's purpose hasn't changed. You know, one thing that the enemy can't take through the circumstances of 2020 that and let's face it, he really is trying to steal the body of Christ through everything that goes on around us to take away, but he can't, and that is the mission that we're here for. It has not changed. In an ever-changing world, the mission and the purpose of God for our life has not changed. Did our method change? Yes, methods have changed, but the mission stays the same. The mission to go into all the world to make disciples. The mission to be, and this is what I want to encourage us with. This is for me anyway. I know personally for me, my mission going, saying goodbye to this year is, and going into a new year, is not what I've done and not what I'm going to do. But I'm actually trying to spend time thinking about who have I been and who am I becoming. And I like what was said in the interviews there. It's more about who am I? How am I trusting God? Do I have trust and faith in God in such a way that it's who I become more than what anything that I do? Because it seems to me that all these little things that happen to us and all the circumstances and the trials, they seem to come, and I'm not saying they don't come from God, I don't believe all these hard things, but they seem to be allowed in such a way that it shapes who I will be in the future. And we need to allow that to happen, allow God to shape who am I. Am I becoming more of that fruit of the Spirit this year than I was last year, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control? Is that me? So going forward for you, what have you learnt? Who are you becoming? And look forward to continuing on. We've got some guest speakers coming up in January. We could call them our local legends. We've got Rod next week. We've got Jason. And so we're going to be looking at just a fresh start and see what God's got on their heart to share. So this morning, I just want to pray a blessing over us as we say goodbye. I want you to challenge you to think about what you have learnt this year, maybe to write that down as a golden truth. Maybe pray about it and spend some time with God and say, this is the truth. This is what I've learned about God, about my life this year. Reflect, renew, refresh, and get ready to run for Jesus into a new year. I'll finish with this thought. It's not on the screen. The Message Bible, I've never read this in the Message before. Excuse me, in Psalms 51 around verse 10, you know how the verses are a bit different because it's paraphrased, says this, and I want to pray this over us. Is that cool? I'm going to pray this over us. So if you want to just close your eyes and receive this. It says, God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash or fail to breathe holiness in me. Bring me back from grey exile. Put a fresh wind in my sails. Lord, I just pray that over us, Lord, as we reflect and look back. We don't keep our eyes back, Lord, but we're excited about looking forward. But Lord, we do want to say to you be the glory for everything that is behind us in 2020. Thank you for how you have kept us. Thank you for how you have loved us. Thank you for how you have looked after us. Thank you for how you have sustained us. Lord, as many people here are thinking about their 2020, there are probably miracles that they can see. And there are probably moments of hurt and mysteries and heartache that they can see. I want to pray, Lord, that you would be, as you do, all that we need at this time in this present. If there needs to be healing, that you would be the healer. For the comfort, that you'd be the comforter. Lord, for hope, where hope has been lost, you would renew hope. And Lord, for where there's weakness, as we said, Lord, that you would be our strength and we'd be okay to get back up and put our hope in you. We don't put our hope in anything of this world, Lord, but rather in an unshakable relationship with you that is permanent and eternal and transcends anything that another year can throw at us. So we love you, God. We give you all the glory, give you all the praise. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thanks, Joe.